One day, when the glory comes, it will be ours, it will be ours. Oh, one day, when the war is won, we will be sure, we will be sure.
To the heavens, no man, no weapon formed against, yes, glory is destined. Everyday women and men become legends. Sins that go against our skin become blessings. The movement is a rhythm to us. Freedom is like religion to us. Justice is juxtaposition in us. Justice for all just ain't specific enough. One son died, his spirit is revisiting us. True and living, living in us. Resistance is us. That's why Rosa sat on the bus. That's why we walk through Ferguson with our hands up. When it goes down, we woman and man up. They say stay down, and we stand up. Shots be on the ground, the camera panned up. King pointed to the mountaintop, and we ran up.
One day, when the glory comes, it will be ours. It will be ours. Oh, one day, when the war is won, we will be sure, we will be sure.
Every man, woman, and child. Even Jesus got his crown in front of a crowd. They march with the torch, we gon' run with it now. Never look back, we done gone hundreds of miles. From dark roads, heroes, to become a hero. Facing the League of Justice, his power was the people. Enemy is lethal, a king became regal. Saw the face of Jim Crow under a bald ego. The biggest weapon is to stay peaceful. We sing, our music is the cuts that we bleed through. Somewhere in the dream we had an epiphany. Now we right the wrongs in history. No one can win a war individually. It takes the wisdom of the elders and young people's energy. Welcome to the story we call victory. The coming of the Lord, my eyes have seen the glory.
One day, when the glory comes, it will be ours. Bookkeeping, Christopher's Insurance, John Merrill. We're in that complex. We're diagonal to the tattoo shop on Vine. We're next to a beauty shop. We're across the street from a detail shop.
and we're almost close to the park on Vine Street. So call me. It's an awesome studio. We'll get your kids going. We'll get you going on playing piano. Call me at 903-780-2808. No, don't sit around. Don't procrastinate. Don't say, I want to, I should, I used to. But just call 903-780-2808 and give me a call. We're ready. We're waiting on you. And we are excited about sharing with you what God is doing through playing, learning how to play the piano. So call me at 903-780-2808. And if all possibilities, we're getting ready for some more bus trips for women, and it's just going to be phenomenal. This year, 2017, I have decreed it as my year to walk in victory. I have decreed it. 2017 is the year for my goals and dreams to come forth. Catch it. Get it. But so just come so you can get in there and see what we're doing. I have just a little time. I'm going to go to Psalms 33 and 5. I had a little girl to give me a little card the other day in teaching music, and she said I was the music lady. She said I was the best music lady. And she gave me this scripture. It's Psalms 33 and 5. The Lord loves righteousness and justice. The earth is full of his goodness, his love. Amen. Amen. Listen, my time's almost up, but know that the earth is full of God's goodness and his love. Love you with the love of the Lord. Call me now at 903-780-2808. That's 903-780-2808. And until next Thursday, be blessed in the Lord and go forth with your dreams in 2017. Amen, amen, and amen.
KGLD, 1330 AM Tyler, and K285 GY, 104.9 FM Tyler.
Good afternoon, and welcome to Community First Network Radio. And you're listening to A View from the Top with your host, Dr. Sherlyn McKellar. Today's show is being brought to you by Legacy Funeral Home over there in Overton, Texas. And for your personal needs, your final needs, Legacy Funeral Home is the one to select. Okay, let's see. As we know, I am so excited, Mr. Butler and Mr. Calloway and that great team out there. We are down to the wire here. We're getting ready. Tonight kicks off our, we're going to have dinner at 5 p.m. tonight with the AKAs. And then at 7 p.m., we're going to go see Hidden Figures. And as you know, those of you who have read the book, you know that those ladies are AKAs, Alpha Kappa Alpha Sorority Incorporated women. So doing great things. I call them the mathematicians, the brain power of NASA. And so if you haven't seen that movie, get out there and see it. We're going to be at Hollywood Theater tonight, 7 p.m. We're inviting all of you to come because they shut the movie down just for AKAs. Thank you. I'm so excited about this whole new year. Everything is just going and going. We had an awesome prayer breakfast on last Saturday. It was outstanding, and the room was filled there at the Willowbrook Country Club. As a matter of fact, we had to add two more round tables to fill them up, because people came in and began this celebration with us. And then we had the beautiful wreath-laying ceremony at the Glass Center, the Willie Lee Glass Center. We laid the wreath in her memory. Yours truly got to be the keynote speaker, and it was beautiful on Saturday. Then the next day, we joined Pastor Caraway at his church, where we always come together and go to church together during this time. This is our 75th anniversary as well as Founders Week. So we're having a great time. But our gala, everybody that's somebody is going to be there. And Mr. Butler said, I'm going to be there because I'm somebody. Mr. Calloway said, I'm going to be there too. But anyways, no, if you didn't get your ticket, you're going to miss a treat. So I'm ready. How about that team? Is that team there, Mr. Butler? Okay, Professor Ray, are you there?
Professor Ray's not on yet. I have First Sergeant with me and California Connection.
Very good, very good. Well, we're ready to go. We're raring to go and can't go for raring. So, and that's what I said about Mr. McKellar. He had, and our president to Mr. McKellar, he's recuperating from a bilateral knee replacement. So I told him he was a real warrior. So he said, no, not me. But anyways, I'm ready. Today we're going to talk about farewell White House, hello Trump Tower. Oh, well, let's see. I don't know where is he going to stay? Well, when we find out where he's going to stay, but in the meantime, let's call it Trump Tower. So, okay, we have
and Professor Ray's on now.
Professor Ray's great. Okay, welcome, Professor Ray. Okay, well, we're ready to get going here. As we are aware, this past week, Tuesday, I believe it was, President Obama gave his final speech to the nation while holding the title as a commander-in-chief. It was a 50-minute speech, a call to action. And the interesting part about it is he returned back to his humble beginning as a community organizer or community activist when he was in his 20s. There were 7,000 tickets that were given away for this event, and lo and behold, there were people paying thousands of dollars to try to get one of those that did not get given to them, and people were actually really selling those things, and people were actually really paying for them. So now, what I want to know today is what you guys, what this great team took away from what was said here today on the speech. And I want to start with you, Mr. Calloway.
Sure.
You're going to switch around, and then we're going to go up.
But
did you get a chance to see this and hear the speech?
I did, and I was so enlightened to hear President Obama speak. Again, it reminds me, like I said, enhances the Children from the 60s Movement. I'm just a couple of months older than he is. So just to show you how those opportunities were there for us from the 60s, how we excelled. And so I'm so proud of him and First Lady Obama for their, you know, their service here in the country and serving this country well. So we have work to do. My generation have work to do, and we hope to go up from here.
Okay. All right. Very good. So the one other thing, and then I'm going to move on to the next person. President Obama said that America and the nation has made him a better person
mm-hmm.
and a better man. Do
mm-hmm.
you see that?
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's for anybody in that position, you know, to have that important position and then come out, you know, pretty good, you know, well, not pretty good and great as far as in my opinion, because this he served his country well, in my opinion.
Okay.
And so, yes.
Okay. All right. First Sergeant, good to hear from you, First Sergeant. I'm sorry, I'll call you after the show is over, but go ahead.
Good morning to everyone and all my soldiers and law enforcement. You know, one thing I just want to back up, if you ain't got no tickets, you late for this gala. Because I'm here, I got full at the breakfast last week. I literally got food. The food was awesome. The speaker was awesome. And the chairperson is on point. It's all about historically. She's teaching as a mentor should. But, you know, I can't wait for this gala. And my boss, she got a dress, and she's ready to go. And guess what? We go.
That's Miss Nikki. Mrs.
You know, Friday, tonight you're going to enjoy that movie because the Potter's House closed a theater last Sunday, and they did it. And, you know, they love the movie. So you AKAs, when you go see that movie, make sure you get your popcorn because, hey, you're going to come out knowing that AKAs is on point. And you need to be one.
Okay. Okay, very good. All right, what about you, Ms. Rihanna?
Anyway, for the president, he said the most awesome words, and that was everything was on point. He brought it from the beginning to the present, and, you know, he talked about his wounded warriors. He talked about freedom. He talked about where we need to be, and he gave all praise to the next commander-in-chief as Bush gave to him. So, you know, he has done what a good commander-in-chief does. Yes, He is a better man. He has grown. And in this position, it does tire you out. It does age you. But I guarantee you, when Trump takes over and our commander-in-chief present, President Obama and that first family, takes that final flight, that monkey will leave his back, and I guarantee you, hey, that pep in his step, he's going to be walking good, and you're going to see him getting younger each day that he gets away from the White House.
Okay, thank you, First Sergeant. Wow. So it's going to be less gray hair, is that what you're saying?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, but let's go to Ms. Rihanna. Ms. Rihanna, comments.
Well, I loved it. I don't know what else to say. I loved it. I was inspired. I truly have been very, very upset since Election Day. And not because I lost, not because my people lost, and I'm, you know, upset about losing. I'm truly, truly, deeply concerned. I know all of us have concerns that are very real. And I just it brought it all home for me that, you know, this man and this family, this is who my kids have grown up knowing and feeling safe because of and looking up to in so many ways. This is, you know, I became a parent under this presidency and raised children and had a lot of guidance. When bad things have happened to us as a nation, when bad things have happened around the world, I have felt like President Obama and Michelle Obama have had my back, and I feel like we've been in it together. And for him to seal the whole deal and say once again, just like he did in the beginning, don't put your faith in me, put your faith in you. And our Constitution is really, it's an amazing thing, but it's really just on, it's a piece of parchment paper. What gives it power is us.
That's
and
right.
I felt those were such important things that he said, and I felt like everything's going to be okay. He's right. It's up to us, and we can do it. So I loved it. I thought it was great. And, I think being president made him a better man because I think he takes it and has taken it very seriously. He's been very thoughtful and deliberative in every decision that he's made. That doesn't mean he's always made exactly what the decision I would have made or maybe the right decision. Maybe in hindsight he even would agree on many things. But he's cared deeply about every decision, and he's looked out for us.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Okay, Professor Ray, your analogy.
Well, greetings, first of all, to Radio Land and to the team, and it's always great to have these opportunities to dialogue on various rules, I mean concerns or rules too and issues. As we hunt down the truth daily, and we know the Holy Word teaches the truth will set you free, so this is so important. But at any rate, as far as our views and feelings, we know as many as there are people, there are different views and thoughts and experiences and knowledge of various things and topics. I'll say first off, hallelujah. The views of the farewell speech really continues to the fact that it's been highlighted that it was the longest in history. It was 54 minutes. One president, I think it was George Bush, the old Bush, it was 7 minutes. I think Clinton's was 20-some minutes or whatever. But at any rate, a week from this coming Friday, as we know, President Obama will be the first ex-president since Woodrow Wilson to stay in Washington once the administration ends. Most of them want to get away and get going. So on Tuesday night, he made it clear that unlike the enfeebled Wilson or what we refer to the gracious George W. Bush, he plans to be quite vocal on everything from illegal immigration and replacing Obamacare, climate change, and the Iran nuclear deal if he feels it's necessary. Well, you're not the president anymore, so and I don't think we made him better. He got more experience because he didn't have any, basically, but the community organizing and the beginnings of being in the Senate. But he was protected and given a free ride by the media. He could in no way really withstand the attacks of George Bush, 43, and certainly not President-elect Trump, the 45th, as of January 20th. President Obama, as we know, loved to golf. He golfed more than any other president. Now he has the time to golf and take indefinite vacations and spend his millions, as he did in the 8 years, on vacation. Yet he has a place, as we know, right just a short jump from the White House. This is unheard of, and America and the president-to-be do not need anyone butting in and becoming a negative. We know they have hired ex-Attorney General Eric Holder, paying him $25,000 a month to nip at the heels of President Trump when in office, namely on the sanctuary cities, if you can believe that, the burden of taxpayers.
So what you're saying, Professor Ray, is you didn't get very much from the farewell speech.
Well, I'm almost done, but we should ask the question, why did Holder leave office, and why are they paying him
$25,000?
Well, I'm saying this is President Obama. One article stated the speech was disappointing finale, and this is president that too often and in too many different ways placed too high of a premium on celebrity status and cult of personality, an American colossal ruled by narcissists. So falling in love with one's own reflection and spending too much time trying to prop up a legacy, the truth would prop up itself, you know, the actions, rather than being concerned about his promises and policies to the American people. So prayerfully he will become scarcest President Bush, 43, and all the rest, and not stoke the flames of division and disrespect any more than we already are dealing with.
Thank you for your time. Let me point out a couple of things. First of all, President Obama is remaining in Washington, D.C., because he has a young child in school, just as Donald Trump has a young child in school in New York City, and his wife is going to remain there. And then secondly, there's nothing that says that presidents have to leave. They can live anywhere they want to live, as a matter of fact. But that's why we already know that's why he's remaining there. And then we have to look at the time of where we are right now. 7 minutes or 20 minutes or however time that someone else took as the president of the United States to do their farewell speech. We have so much going on in this country, number one. It probably could have gone on even longer. But it's up to the individual president as to how much time they take to say what it is that they want and need to say to the nation. So now that's what I have to say in regards to that. Next question. Of all the things that I guess I've done in my career, quote unquote, is what the president is saying. He says, I'm most proud to be your dad. Talking directly to his daughter, Malia, who was there. We know that the Sasha could not make it down to Chicago because she's in school going every day. She had an exam, so she couldn't make it down there. What I like about the fact that President Obama went through 8 years in the White House, and did we hear any scandals? Well, we hear scandals even before
not
people
one.
Get in there.
Oh, yeah.
Not one that I haven't heard one. But what are your feelings when you listen to the president talk about total respect for his wife? I mean, you know, I hear women degrading other women, but when I see a man standing up and showing respect for his wife, that means to me, and I'm going to find out what it means to some of the others, but it means to me that apparently this wife showed respect to her husband, which is important. We're supposed to show respect. We're not supposed to vilify our husbands in the presence of people. We're supposed to show them respect. So California Connection, I'm going to bring you in. What were your feelings when you listened to the president showing respect for his wife and his children, his family? And how do you feel when you hear other women degrading other women, when you hear women degrading? Because I hear it and see it all the time. Go ahead, California Connection.
Top of the day. And first of all, I'd like to say to the audience, live the dream in 2017. Make all your dreams come true. I bid you adieu, and may the Most High God bless each and every one of you. And as far as the first question, yes, the president had 2 terms, and if you didn't get it done, stick a fork in it. But we thank you for your service. The people have spoken. hasta la vista and arrivederci. And as far as your specific question, I'm so thankful we had a president that demonstrated as a role model how to show class and love to his wife and to his family. That's a biblical idea. And he got that, and thank you for that, Mr. Obama. Thank you for that. And on the other hand, when you do see, I don't have to go to my psychology degree or PhD, but when you see women who do this to other women, I can take it to the psychological level. But even if you go back to just basic principles, there are sibling rivalries. We see it in families. I've experienced it. Sometimes people don't get the loyalty. When you have love and loyalty, you're pricked in your heart to be the best you can be. And I know on my jobs, in my family, I know what it's like to get that knife in my back by other women. But I still had to go high and step high. I learned it from my mother. My mother, a beautiful woman who was smart and intelligent, she always showed the class when women were jealous of her beauty, of her intellect, of her family. So I see it even in our first ladies. We've seen women attack women. But that's, you know, to me, it's just one of those things you have to deal with. But you always have to be the best you can be and show the class and show principles, show commitment to the cause and the excellence of the cause, because it could even happen in your own family, which really hurts the most. But it also happens in the political arena. It happens in every way with our first ladies and everything else.
Very good. Well said. Okay, I'm gonna just going to deal with this question with the ladies, gentlemen, if you don't mind. Okay, Professor Ray.
I want to just say salute. Who was that person that came out of California? Boy, she didn't leave a stone unturned. So beautiful. Thank you, ma'am. Of course, you know, it depends really when you make a blanket statement degrading. A lot of times it's trying to help. It depends on what one woman is noting or regarding another woman. We should always remember the golden rule. We know that. It also depends on the different values. Our views of one woman in relation to another woman. So our moral standards really have taken a dip in this world that have rang across the nation. I was just scrolling through the channels before the program come on, and I look at Outnumbered every now and then when I can stand it on Fox News. These beautiful women and have great contributions on things, but they sit so disrespectfully with their legs hitched up to the camera. And today I can't call her name, the black host, and I know it's who right now. But anyhow, she might as well just had a top on today. They're always bad, but today she got number one for being the worst. You could actually see up to her hip bone. I'm not kidding. So we're supposed to be role models. You know, we used to didn't have these kind of standards. They've been lowered, and people will try to emulate half-dressed people. The news people also look like they're going to a party, sundresses in the winter. You know, what happened to the professional two-piece suits and office attire that used to be with dress codes of respect? And then when a man looks sideways at them, then they're ready to holler rape and sexual advance. Well, ladies, people will usually give the respect to those who are respectful. And so we have lost that. You know, I have not seen such women wearing thick leotards for pants with just little tops on. What happened to the Chet Huntley and David Brinkley days? So when we have people who make a difference in our world, hopefully it would be in a positive, not in a disruption of peace and unity and quality and respect, which we have lost. And so I give my honor and praise and respect to God and not man, because he has told us not to put our faith and trust in man. And it's amazing.
We're not talking about, let's keep
well,
it clear.
Well, women, our respect for women.
We are supposed to respect one another.
Well, let
we're
me finish this last statement, if you don't mind. And I know you're going to go and analyze everything I said, but
well,
we don't do that to everyone.
Well,
let us all come back and give our points, because sometimes you may have misconstrued or misunderstood.
No,
so since we don't have a lot of time, then we'll do it on a Monday night when we have more time. But the thing is, I'm going to tell the truth, and it's not talking about a degrading. The truth will set you free, and let the chips fall where they may.
And sometimes we have to go and give that truth to the individual. We have to do one-on-one. That's scripture, too. And a lot of times people have, when we talk to other women, or we talk to younger, because we're supposed to start our training for young women way down low. But we have to remember not to be halty in our instructions when we're working with young girls, and make sure that they're paying attention, young girls with purpose, make sure that they're paying attention to what we're saying. We're supposed to respect one another, ladies and gentlemen that are listening out there, team. We're not talking about biblically putting faith in. We know that we're not to put our faith in man. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about showing respect for one another, and we have to show respect for one another. And if we don't, then we're not communicating well with each other. Miss Rihanna, quickly.
One of the daily devotional websites that I go to every day has a whole section on women in relationships. And today it says, it's become the silent emotional killer among women, women who are downright mean, malicious, and disrespectful with one another. This trend is creating havoc in our relationships with one another, for it strikes to the core of our sisterhood. Real sisterhood can only exist when respect and trust stand unshakable. And I just thought, wow, this is today's, and I flagged it this morning because of this question. And you know, I couldn't agree more. We're women, people of color, various, you know, quote, groups of people who are not a part of the power structure in this country, the establishment power structure in this country, are always going to be vulnerable, in a vulnerable position. We see it happening already with a lot of legislation. In my state, I've got lots of examples of things that have happened this week that have targeted me as a woman, my daughters as women, as young women. And we've got to stick together and love one another and respect one another. We don't have to agree with one another or like right. one another, but we've got to stick together and respect our womanhood and our humanity together. We have to.
Well, you know,
I think our president has shown that beautifully.
Sure. Well, I've heard some men say, and this doesn't make it right, but some men will say, well, why should I respect women? Women don't respect each other, some of them. You know, they're not doing a broad brush. That's why they say some of them. But we have to learn. And it doesn't matter what your ethnicity is, whether you're black, white, you know, yes. yellow, green. It doesn't matter about that. We're all women. And we have to work with women, and we have to train and teach real early in life. Okay, you ladies did that really well. Okay, now let's go on to the next question. You know, there were so many takeaways for me from the speech that President Obama left with us, but I think that it was amazing to listen to what he had to say. And the one thing that I really took away from him is that he is very sensitive. Man, you could see a tear every now and then again. I mean, he's just, you've seen that sensitivity side of him. And a lot of times men don't show that, and they certainly don't show it in public. So we have to let our men know that it's okay for them to express and have that little sensitive part about them. Well, now let's move on. I think we've dealt with that enough. There was a press dialogue, as we know, with elect Trump after the farewell speech from President Obama. And so what did you get from elect Trump's news conference on Wednesday? And did he answer the questions that were asked of him? And so we'll go back and we'll bring the men in. Okay, Mr. Callaway, did you see it?
Yes, ma'am. And
okay.
He has dodged every bullet that was shot at him, and it's just a joke. And I want someone to respect our country. And when you have news reporters, he's very, sensitive to. But he's sensitive in a wrong way because he attacked people who question his thought process or his ability to do it. But he's dodged every bullet as far as the question we're thrown at him. And as far as being disrespectful to that news reporter, that's why they're going back at him. So, I mean, you know, come on, you're showing a whole lot of yourself President-elect, of who you are, and I'm just disgusted. I digress.
Okay, First Sergeant, I'm sorry. What was your takeaway, or did you hear that news conference?
I'll pass.
Okay. Miss Rihanna.
That news conference was very, very troubling. Very troubling. Because it, unfortunately, I said the other night, and I truly meant this, I truly mean this, I hope to God that I am dead wrong on every prediction that I've made, on every red flag that I've seen, that I've raised, you know, called question to and harped on. I hope to God I'm wrong. I did not receive any encouragement whatsoever from that news conference, because what we got was a cocky attitude about the tax returns. No Americans care about that. Well, yeah, they do. According to the polling, they do. And, you know, we found out he's not really going to divest himself from his businesses. And we found out that the treatment of the press is going to continue. The term fake news has a real meaning, a real definition. It was real information that was put out there deliberately by people from their own mouths to target people for clickbait to make money. They've created it for ideological left-leaning people. They've created it for ideological right-leaning people. And they said they made a killing on the Trump thing because Trump is the godfather of fake news. He got into politics by the birther nonsense, saying that he had people from the CIA contacting him, giving him information that the president was born in Kenya. You know, that's how he started his political career. You know, and we kept thinking or kept hearing that some pivot was going to happen. He knows how to be presidential. This will change. He will always do the right thing. We're told over and over, trust him, trust him. Give him some benefit of the doubt. But over and over and over again, we're lied to, we're insulted, yes. And 6 months after he's elected, after making fun of Hillary Clinton for not having a press conference for however many days, and he goes an unprecedented 6 months without a press conference, and when he does have one, he lies to demonize a serious news reporter who has almost 30-year record, impeccable record of reporting straight up, and he lies and conflates something that was garbage, fake news that BuzzFeed put out, and conflated that with real news that CNN put out, and he's doing it to inoculate himself and muddy the waters so that we don't ask questions and we are made to feel stupid when
Thank
we do.
I'm sorry to cut you off. Okay.
No.
Okay, let's move on. Professor Ray, your comments on Trump's news was very brief, so I said a news dialogue. Go ahead.
Well, you know, I believe in giving credit to where it belongs. So as wonderful as Rihanna expresses herself, I'll have to give her number one for the most hateful response to something that's totally anti and reverse
to
the truth.
What are your feelings about that?
Well, I just had to say that because it was, you know, she hit a lot of angles, and I think it's great we need a dialogue on it. But at any rate, President-elect Trump's news conference was upbeat with great news. We started off, you know, with the elect VP. He had his attorney on. His children was there. And, of course, you know, he was there giving upbeat information on the replace Obamacare and repeal and replace, and perhaps they're working for it within the same hour. But at any rate, basically, not only has he saved jobs, he's worked and accomplished more, not even being in the office yet, than some people have in a year that's been in office. He's not all talk and no action. He's an action man. He will get things done. The news media, the BuzzFeed and CNN, and then others, we got a lot of people working behind the scenes to destroy this nation, and they're doing a good job. Listening to people, even though I am disappointed with a lot of things, it's just the wording and just saying, you know, he took 6 months. That's not true. You're talking about Hillary Clinton to have a news press conference. He always set and came on TV.
When was that that he did one? When was it that he did
one? Since the election. But at any rate, ma'am, let me finish. Basically, if you want to ask me when I'm done, so we're not interrupting my thought, because there's so much hitting my medulla, cerebellum, and cerebrum that it would take an hour or more to explain. But at any rate, they set this up so that it would be disruption for his press conference, these lies where the man, Mike Cohen, who is one of his attorneys, but guess what? There's another one in the world. Trump asked this man, said, when were you in Russia behind closed doors talking to Putin and all this stuff? They put out all that garbage and fake news and lies. And, of course, he said, I want to see your passport. And he was on Hannity last night. And, of course, he said, I don't mind it. I'm not that far away. But then they find out there's another Mike Cohen, and they got some similarities. So these people, these fake newses, the CNN and all this corruption of the Democratic Party supporters, they put that together, as they did with Jake Tapper when they turned down the mic when he was talking about the KKK and David Duke, and Trump couldn't hear what he was saying. They pulled all this trickery. This is why I say our country is worse off. We are not united as we once was, and it's getting progressively worse. They are planning the attack and call it already a bloody inauguration and all these kinds of things. And so, but Trump handled it well. So when Acosta decided to take over the press conference and make him to answer a question, when Trump was saying, you're fake news, you know, they were the one that was working in concert with BuzzFeed, and you must respect the president, you know. And then if he continues, he was told he will not be coming to a news conference. Their job is centered around President-elect Trump. They wouldn't have a job. They sit on these talk shows like Payton Place, sit around and these people talking, seven or eight of the Democrats and maybe one Trump supporter. They'll sit around and lie and misconstrue. Now, as far as the reporter, this reporter 16 years ago wrote a story, had views or whatever, and supported it. But after Trump became president-elect and running for office, he changed it. Trump didn't even know this guy, this man was handicapped. He just basically, and
hey,
he did the same
Ray, I'm
thing.
I'm sorry, I have to cut you off, because you can look at some people and tell that they're handicapped. Now, I'm glad that you brought out the fact that we do now are supposed to respect somebody, because that's what we were talking about a few minutes ago, is that respect. You know, and it's interesting to me, and I don't know, I'm going to give Ms. Rihanna, I'll give you a chance. Since Professor Ray called your name out, I'll give you a chance to come back and say whatever it is that you want to say. But I think it's very interesting that when all of this fake news, because we heard some of the fake news right here on A View from the Top, nobody tried to chase that down and say no. Well, people did chase it down and say, and we even said on this show when it was quoted to us that that's not true. But all of a sudden now that that we hear it about Mr. Trump, now we want to bring it out to make sure that everybody knows it's fake news. But we heard from President Clinton going from 180 pounds to 112 or 20 pounds in 1 week, and that he was on a deathbed, and Hillary Clinton was out snorting lines of cocaine, coke, and I don't mean the soda, the lines of cocaine is what I mean, and all kinds of fake stuff that was even quoted here on this show. Ms. Rihanna, I'm going to give you opportunity quickly to say whatever it is that you need to say in regards to what Professor Ray said in regards to whatever she said about you. Go ahead, Ms. Rihanna, quick.
Well, I do want to say I certainly, if I said anything hateful, that certainly was not my intention, nor is it ever. I love my country dearly. I love democracy. I love freedom. And I love when we do the right thing and when we make good on our promises and when we hold true to what we said on paper in our Constitution, our Bill of Rights, and our Declaration of Independence. And so I certainly never, ever want to – I don't want to hate on anybody. I want whoever is in office – I don't care if my guy lost. I want success. I want people to be okay. I want the world to be safe. I don't see a level-headed, calm, cool, collected person sometimes, and I fear the responses that I see sometimes with who we've elected. And I'll also say BuzzFeed and CNN are not the same. BuzzFeed and CNN were not colluding on this story. BuzzFeed put out false information that CNN has been highly critical of from the first minute. CNN made it a point to say, we're not even going to talk about what they put out because they put out unsubstantiated stuff from the internet. They did a document dump. That's not what we did. Kellyanne Conway and Anderson Cooper went around and around for forever last night, like 30 minutes, and Anderson Cooper kept conflating, doing what Trump did. This is a deliberate thing to muddy the waters. You can't get the specifics of what they're upset with CNN about, because when you pin them down and corner them with the factual information of who has reported what, they cannot name anything that CNN has said that was wrong, inaccurate, or untrue. But if you discredit a major media outlet, then and hire a bunch of your own people to sit in that audience and cheer you when you do it and make the whole thing into a circus, that's how you discredit the media, muddy the waters, and get anybody to say, well, CNN is fake news.
Okay, I'm
that's
sorry,
not because,
yeah.
What's going on.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm, sure,
okay.
Sure.
And we know CNN is not fake news. We already know that. And that was the individual that he was talking to. Okay, so let's find out who James O'Keefe is, since we're talking about fake news, and what that connection is with elect Trump, and what also the connection is with Acorn. And so we'll start at the top. Well, let me first back up. California Connection, did you have any comments? Is she still with us? Okay, let's go into the next question.
Yes,
then.
Hello, I'm here. Yes, hello. Yeah.
Okay,
did you have any comments? Yes, I did, briefly. That's a great question. And I thought the news conference yesterday, it really did show Mr. Trump's passion to hopefully help to make America great again. He did outline some specifics that he wants to let people know he plans to keep his promises, building the wall and reforming the economy and reforming Obamacare, because no matter who had won, they were going to have to tweak and edit and reform some aspects of the Obamacare. Secondly, on the fake news, it was the Clintons who bought out that point a while ago. And, in fact, if you go in Wikipedia, you'll see that it was Hillary and Bill Clinton who started the birther idea that Obama was born in Kenya. And actually, Wikipedia, Google, everything speaks to that. And it was Mr. Trump who actually carried the ball. But they are the ones, Bill and Hillary, during the 2008 election, which was very, very vitriol as well, they're the ones who started that. And so
it's
the height of hypocrisy that we see on every level. No one's hands are clean. There was no perfect candidates here, but America has spoken, and they chose Mr. Trump, and it's now up to him to do it the way he wants to do it. And we'll all hold his feet to the fire.
Yes, thank you. It actually was a family member of President Obama who actually first started that and gave that information to the Clintons. So it wasn't the Clintons who actually started it. It was an aunt that actually.
And she gave it to a Clinton supporter, not
gave
the Clintons.
That's right, not the Clintons per se, because that's why I say when we.
They took the ball and ran with it. But
Hillary
and Bill Clinton did run with that ball. And that's the truth.
No,
they never said a word about it.
They never said one word.
Donald Trump did fake news on the birther thing. He's the birther in chief.
Yes, that's who ran with it, and that's why I say when we say these things, we're making, even though this person worked for the Clintons, when we say the Clintons took it and ran with it, we can't find anything or any message or any voice of theirs saying that on any. I haven't been able to find one, but I knew that it was someone who worked for them who actually took that and put it out there after the aunt, I believe it was an aunt, said that here in America, who lived here in America, and then Donald Trump is the one that took it and ran with it. Okay, let's see. There's one other question that I want to get down to. I know that we have just a few more minutes. I want to get down to Kushner. Now, now we know that the people's business, which is the government, probably is the largest business that we have, earthly business, in this country. And we're not talking about God's business. We're strictly talking about earthly business. I want to keep that clear. We know that Jared Kushner was appointed senior advisor to Trump. We know that Jared is the son-in-law of Donald Trump. Kushner has no political or governmental background. And, of course, we know President-elect Trump does not either. So, Mr. Calloway, I'm going to start with you. Mm-hmm. Does Jared Kushner need any experience to be a senior advisor to the President of the United States, in your opinion?
I would certainly hope so. I mean, you know, you have to be in the arena to understand every facet of that position. So if you it's just like me going, okay, I'll be that position and don't have any, people will be concerned. So that's my
yeah,
answer.
People are
to
concerned.
That.
Okay, yeah. Let's see. First Sergeant, quickly, any comments from you? Quickly, because we're about to run out of time. Go ahead. Do you think he needs to have experience?
I would have to say no experience necessary. You have to remember, President Obama had Michelle's brother as a senior advisor in this role. So he had no experience, but he was he helped to keep the president balanced because he had no opinion, and therefore he kept him real. I'm sure that the son-in-law is going to play the same role as Trump. You know, he is probably a
Senior advisor has a big role in the President of the United States. Senior advisor, that means they advise.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a big role. That's your number one person who tells you which directions that you go into. Your senior advisor, just look at those words. Senior, that means at the top. And advisor, that means I'm advising you of what you should do. And, yes, a senior advisor definitely needs experience, in my opinion. I've been in the political arena. I know they.
President Obama had his brother-in-law
especially
in the same
foreign
role.
Policy, because that is the primary task of the President of the United States is to guide us on foreign policy. Thank you. You've been listening to A View from the Top. This has been a great show. I hope you enjoyed it, and we look forward to you coming right back here again on next Thursday with A View from the Top. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, get that black tie out. Mr. Butler said he already has his black tie. Mr. Calloway say he has his. Ladies got that long dress out. Get ready for this Saturday at the Keepasaw Bushman Center, the 75th anniversary of the Alpha Kappa Alpha Sorority Incorporated. Gamma Omicron Omega. Go ahead, Mr. Calloway.
Yeah, there's a Martin Luther King parade coming up.
That's right.
Soon,
too. That's right. We know we're celebrating Martin Luther King Day right here in Tyler, Texas. Even I am going to be the Grand Marshal for Palestine's Martin Luther King, and then I will be the keynote speaker for their luncheon. So get on out there, and then the AKs will do their service project. Get out there and get involved. There's a place for every single person. Just because President Obama stepped out of the White House doesn't mean we need to have him to step out. We need everybody working to make sure that this country remains a great country. Thank you. May God bless you. May God bless America. See you next time. Bye now.
One day, when the glory comes, it will be ours, it will be ours. Oh, one day, when the war is won, we will be sure, we will be sure.
The heavens, no man, no weapon formed against, yes, glory is destined. Everyday women and men become legends. Sins that go against our skin become blessings. The movement is a rhythm to us. Freedom is like religion to us. Justice is juxtaposition in us. Justice for all just ain't specific enough. One son died, his spirit is revisiting us. True and living, living in us. Resistance is us. That's why Rosa sat on the bus. That's why we walk through Ferguson with our hands up. When it go down, we woman and man up. They say stay down, and we stand up. Shots be on the ground, the camera panned up. King pointed to the mountaintop, and we ran up.
One day, when the glory comes, it will be ours, it will be ours. Oh, one day, when the war is won, we will be sure, we will be sure. Oh, no.
Glory, glory.
Oh. Now the war is not over, victory isn't won, but we'll fight on to the finish, and then when it's all done, we'll cry glory, oh glory, oh, we'll cry glory, oh.
For every man, woman, and child. Even Jesus got his crown in front of a crowd. They march with the torch, we gon' run with it now. Never look back, we done gone hundreds of miles. From dark roads, heroes, to become a hero. Facing the League of Justice, his power was the people. Enemy is lethal, a king became regal. Saw the face of Jim Crow under a bald ego. The biggest weapon. It's to stay peaceful, we sing. Our music is the cuts that we bleed through. Somewhere in the dream we had an epiphany. Now we right the wrongs in history. No one can win a war individually. It takes the wisdom of the elders and young people's energy. Welcome to the story we call victory. The coming of the Lord, my eyes have seen the glory.
One day.